Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Kevin McGarry, a black conservative activist. He wrote a book recently called Woked Up. The book is described this way: finally putting an axe to the taproot of white supremacy and racism in America, Woked Up defines precisely why and how today's Marxist false narratives are specifically designed to destroy, not unify. End quote. Kevin McGarry, author of the book Woked Up, joins us right now. Kevin, it's good to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Brother Jerry, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Sure. And you are the president and co-founder of Every Black Life Matters, and then also the chairman of the Frederick Douglass Foundation of California. But go ahead and tell us a little bit about your own background.
So my own background is this. I grew up in San Francisco, basic urbanite, and did all the basic boys in the hood kind of stuff because that was kind of my upbringing. And however, I brought home some pretty decent grades to be in a public school and that, and went to San Jose State, got a sociology degree. And then from there, started to really begin to investigate my own civic engagement and my own leanings. My wife and I really began to look at those things more critically. And when we took a look at the various platforms, we realized, we've actually been voting and participating in ways that don't empower the communities that we've come from and that we care about, but it actually disempowers them. So we began to be much more conservative. From there, I started the Frederick Douglass Foundation of California chapter about 15 years ago, and also an executive with the Douglass Leadership Institute. And then from there, quite honestly, we saw the riots, the hatred, the violence, the vitriol of BLM riots a couple years ago, and decided, look, we need a righteous, faithful, moral alternative to BLM, because, of course, they were in full embrace of Marxism and full embrace of violence and full embrace of hatred and full embrace of killing babies in the womb and all that kind of stuff. And they were completely antithetical to people of faith or people who are just moral. And so we wanted to be the alternative for that. So we started Every Black Life Matters. And we are the exact opposite of BLM. If you go to our website, everyblm.com, you'll see exactly what we're about. And that's kind of where we're here.
You work with Walter Hoy in that respect. Is that right?
Sure do.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I've interviewed him before.
Great friends.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, that's super, super interesting background. Now, I understand that a lot of corporations require of their employees to go through training and sensitivity on racism and so forth, and you provide kind of a conservative alternative to that, and yet it's fully it's got the right accreditation for the employees.
So let me talk a little bit about that. So we hear so much about anti-racism training, quote unquote, and white fragility training, quote unquote. We got all these folks now. We got a whole cottage industry of trainers going around the country and purportedly training people to do this kind of stuff, to train and then certify these organizations. But in reality, what they do when they show up, they actually divide the workplace. They make the people who have a little less melanin than I do feel uncomfortable and distrusting, and certainly they make the people who are full of melanin, like myself, to feel fully empowered and like they can guilt people and shame people and accuse people of being racist and white supremacist and this. So what we decided to do is have our own racial unity training, which literally gets to the root of white supremacy and racism. And so as opposed to going after politically ideological Marxist kind of training protocols, we go through the literal root of where this stuff comes from. We help people to really kind of deconstruct all of this stuff and then be fully empowered and unified at the end of it, because we're not dividing the room. We're encouraging everybody to unify around the things that really matter around racism and white supremacy today.
Can you talk about white supremacy?
Yeah, so in my book, Woked Up, I fully what was interesting to me is that when you look at the woke movement, they have these caricatures and these ad hominems and these pejoratives that they continue to throw out at anybody who happens to be conservative or white or Christian or male or whatever. I mean, they kind of make up pejoratives practically every day, right? So they're throwing out these pejoratives, and I thought, well, okay, well, what about the woke movement? I mean, you know, we should do some investigation here. So I started to look at the woke movement generally. I thought I would start with Karl Marx, because everybody knows that wokesters are in full embrace of Marxism. I mean, that's the roots of the woke movement. But then I realized that Marx and Engels actually had a mentor. They dedicated all their early works to Charles Robert Darwin. So then I started to look at Darwin, and I realized that his first book on natural selection, one of the, you know, if you read further, the subtitle is For the Preservation of Most Favored Races. And I'm thinking, this is really interesting here. And so I read a second book, The Descent of Man, and it goes into a lot, and he goes into a lot more detail. He really characterizes whites as being the favored race, the intellectuals, the race that's more resourceful, the race that needs to protect its pure heritage. And by the way, blacks, if you want to look at evolution, just look at blacks. They're the perfect example. They're still trying to climb the evolutionary curve. They're subhuman. They're gorillas. They're apes. They're savages. This is Darwin. This is in his books, and I've fully footnoted everything. So this is not like hyperbole or anything like that. So in my book Woke Up, I fully disclose and expose, if you will, the taproot of white supremacy and racism. And ironically, it is not, people on the right or you know, white Christians or anything like that. It literally are the wokesters, because they fully embrace the roots and the foundations, if you will, of Marx and, of course, Darwin.
That's fascinating. By the way, isn't in some ways, you know, you talk about the wokesters and so forth. In effect, you have the new high priests of wokeism, but it's just kind of like the phenomenon that you see throughout history. Okay, so for example, before the Reformation, the Bible wasn't allowed to be in the hands of the people and so forth, and there were some corrupt officials within the official church who wouldn't allow that. They were the high priest that had the secret knowledge, and nobody else was allowed to have it. Bill Federer, my good friend, talks about how there were 3,000 ancient Egyptian hieroglyphics, and yet when God revealed the Ten Commandments to Moses, that was only in 23 Hebrew letters. And part of his whole point was that, you know, God wanted this information to get out to the masses, whereas with the high priests of Egypt, you know, they were the special class that had that secret knowledge and so forth. But with the high priests of wokeism, it's the same idea. You know, pay us the money, lots of money, by the way, and we'll give you, you know, this is the secrets that you need to know so you can be certified.
That's right. That's right. And so what we have is we have a way to combat that. So if anybody goes to our website, everyblm.com, we actually literally take your workforce through, ways to really unify you, because you all understand the taproots. Everything's fully exposed. You understand how this whole nomenclature of white supremacy and racism, how it evolved, how it really caught root with Marxism. And then Saul Alinsky. And so we help you to connect the dots all the way through. It's interesting you mentioned Bill Federer. He is a huge endorser of the book, actually.
Super.
And I mean, he said, look, Kevin, what you did here is unbelievable. He says, I never connected these dots. So I encourage you and all your listeners to just get the book. It's on Amazon. Type in Woked Up with a D, Woked Up, McGarry, McGary, and you'll get it in a couple days. And I think it's a good read for everybody.
Wow, excellent. Okay, the phrase white fragility, that's even the name of a book by somebody you would disagree with, one of the high priests of wokeism, if you will. Tell us, what does that phrase even mean, white fragility?
Well, Robin DiAngelo, if you read her book, she goes into a lot of detail about whites, all whites, being guilted and need to accept the fact that they are all racist. Nothing you can do about it. You're born racist because of your skin color. This is the absolute definition of racism, of course. But nobody calls her out on it, right? We just kind of, you know, people in society just kind of accept that, oh, okay, I'm white, I'm guilty.
They not only accept her, but they pay her gazillions of dollars or whatever to go around and, you know, spread her message, I believe, right?
Yeah, last I checked, it was tens of thousands of dollars per 45-minute speech.
Wow.
No exaggeration. I think her on-site speeches are about $40,000. So, I mean, it's outrageous what these people get for spewing racism. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Even Ibram X. Kendi, who is How to Be an Anti-Racist, in his book, he talks about how we need to embrace prejudice to overcome prejudice, and how we need to embrace prejudice in the future to overcome prejudice now. I mean, you can't even make up the ideological insanity, really, that these people are spewing, but it's being fully accepted, if you will, by society and by these corporations who are pulling out tens of thousands of dollars to have these guys divide their workforces as opposed to unify it.
Yeah, isn't it interesting too how the corporations spent lots and lots of money with Black Lives Matters, and you know, for a while it seemed as if, oh, this is a great organization, they're doing good work, you know, let's all fight against prejudice and so forth. But it turns out, well, there was no oversight. It wasn't a great work. It was Marxist. Oh, and not only was there no oversight, apparently three of the top leaders were able to get a lot of money. Somebody once said, BLM stands for Buy Luxurious Mansions.
Well, the way that they've spent their money, according to some of their 990s, apparently there's six mansions, multi-million-dollar mansions. Apparently they spent a lot of money with the LGBTQIA, but most of their money was being spent on the trans movement. So transgender organizations around the globe, really, they spent a lot of money there. And then, of course, the gross majority went to Act Blue, you know, purely political Democrat kind of stuff. So, I mean, BLM is they're having to suffer the consequences now of their malfeasance and fraud and all these investigations. And wherever the chips fall, they'll have to suffer the consequences for that. But hopefully, people now are waking up that that was not a good use of time or money. And I'm hoping that people will come and visit us at least. I mean, we have partnerships, and we would encourage your support as well. But we're actually doing work, good work around the country, especially as we expose this stuff and as we stand up for true racial unity with our trainings and certifications.
And before we go into that, and we only have a couple minutes left, again, what does the phrase itself mean, white fragility? Does it mean that the whites feel so bad because they know deep down that they're racist, that they have to do whatever they can to keep the black man down or something like that? I mean, I don't get it.
Yeah, so basically what she's saying is, look, if you try to say that you are not racist, then you're white fragile, because you really are racist. You're white, and therefore you are. There is no, you can't say, well, I wasn't born then, or I wasn't born that way. I've always been accepting and blah, blah, blah. She's saying, no, your skin color makes you who you are, and because you are who you are, there is no way around it. So those who would try to disagree basically are isolated and castigated as being white fragile.
Now, what would she say about black people in general? And we only have about a minute and a half left.
Yeah, she would say basically that blacks are white passing. If you won't accept, the white fragility arguments, you're basically white passing. You've been co-opted. You've
like
been
an Uncle Tom.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Wow, that's crazy. So it's like, okay, buy my liberal view and pay me lots of money for it, or I'm going to condemn you as a racist. Wow, there's so much work to be done.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, well, how about a 45-second closing thought on this whole idea of woked up?
Well, here's a closing thought. If you really truly want to get to the roots of white supremacy and racism, please go get the book, Woked Up. I actually uncover a lot of things, including a lot of things about Darwin, about Marx, about Saul Alinsky. I connect all the dots from history, show you the true, roots of where this stuff comes from, and give you the capacity to then bring your woke friends along with the truth, as opposed to fully accepting these horrible tropes that they tend to throw out all the time. So,
all right, and the website again is everyblm.com, and my good friend Bill Federer endorses, so it's got to be good. Hey, Kevin, nice to meet you. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Derry. I really appreciate it. I look forward to seeing you next time.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye now.